epitaphs on tombstones. Over the years, I've preached quite a few times at traditional churches, and of course your classic traditional church has a long path going up to the church door, and you've got kind of graves either side that you've got to walk past. And as I've done that over the years, you kind of occasionally notice a tombstone. If it's a, or maybe if it's a different shape to the rest, or because it's really, really old, you think, gosh, that looks ancient, I wonder what was written on that, and you just go over and have a look and see what was written. And sometimes you notice them because of what's written on them. There's just something about them that makes them stand out, like the late Spike Milligan, who wrote on his tombstone, wasn't it, "I told you I was ill." And we're going to have a look at another one of those cast B characters. I mean, everyone knows about Abraham and about Joseph and about Noah and David. Everyone knows about them. But Jabez, who on earth has ever heard of him? Well, that's who we're going to have a look at this morning, this character, Jabez. And the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, is basically one name after another. I think there's about 500 names. Like, you could get really bored reading through a book that just has name after name after name after name. And it just continues the same way. That is, until we get to chapter 4, where 44 names in from the beginning of the chapter, you get Jabez. And just like some of those tombstones that stand out for different reasons, there's something about this name, Jabez, that is slightly different. It's not the same as the others, and that made it stick out from the rest to me. So that's why I thought we could have a look at this character this morning. It's almost as if, as the person who was writing all those names down, name, 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 Jabez, as if God said to him, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'd like to just say a few words about him before you continue with the list of names." That's how it looks to me. So let's have the text up on the screen, if we could please, Al. Now, there's not that much about him. Actually, there's just two verses in the entire Bible of information about this guy. But it appears amidst a sandwich of name after name. So there's something about Jabez that God wants to speak to us through. There's something he wants to tell us. There's something he wants to let inform our lives. Now, if you look at what it says about him, it doesn't tell us, you know, the great deeds that he did. It doesn't tell us the amazing battles that he fought and won. It doesn't tell us any books that he wrote. It doesn't really tell us anything that he did. It just gives us the smallest amount of detail about his background. It tells us a prayer that he prayed. And it tells us what God did about that prayer. That's all we've got. His background, a prayer, and God's response to his prayer. So let's dive in and have a look at this brief, really short passage of scripture. And who knows? Maybe God wants to speak to you through these words this morning. Maybe this could make all the difference to somebody's life in this church this morning. So we start. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. What does that mean? Doesn't tell us anything about what he did with his life, does it? So what does it mean when it says Jabez was more honourable than his brothers? That's the first thing that God wants to bring our attention to. He was more honourable than his brothers. Literally in the Hebrew, heavier than his brothers. He was more honourable than his brothers. Well, it must mean, mustn't it, that there's something about his attitude that made God want to comment on him. It must be, mustn't it, that Jabez's aim was to honour God. He was more honourable. So I put it to you that what that's saying is Jabez sought to honour God. Now, that's not to say that his brothers didn't want to honour God. What it does say is this. They may have wanted to do that to some extent, but Jabez wanted to do it more so. He wanted to do it perhaps above everything else. And in wanting to honour God above everything else, that made him more honourable in the eyes of God. So that's really, I think, got to be our starting point, because that's the Bible starting point for Jabez. As we approach God in prayer, our foundation must be that we want to honour God above everything else. That's got to be our starting point. Because, you see, a prayer like this could really be open to misinterpretation. You know, there's a whole thing in America, they say, you know, the health and wealth prosperity gospel. Have you heard of that? Well, have a look at what Jabez prayed for. Can you see it there? Any mention of wealth and health there? Can you see it? So, see, if we don't get this right, we could get this very wrong. And we could pull out of this something that the Bible doesn't say. That's why the Lord puts that opening line in there. He was more honourable than his brothers. Because, you see, this prayer was accompanied, if you like, by a God-honouring attitude. And that's how we've got to start. Because that's the only way that this prayer is prevented from actually becoming a prosperity prayer. It's in the attitude we come to as we pray it. So the attitude behind our praying, that is of paramount importance. If you like, not Lord, I want more, but rather, Lord, I want more of you. Not Lord, I want more for me, but rather, Lord, I want more for you. World of difference between those two attitudes. So before now, we have a look at what he actually, I'm itching to dive into what he actually prayed, but that's not the order that the Bible gives it to us in. It gives us his attitude first, doesn't it? So we've got to start there. And then it gives us something about his background. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, there clearly must have been something about the mother's circumstances that was difficult when Jabez was born then. Now, all births are physically painful, yet mothers don't usually call their children things like, you know, labour pains. Hi, have you met my son? Labour pains. You don't do it, do you? So there's obviously something particularly painful or difficult about either the birth, or I put it to you, about the events surrounding his birth. Now, okay, it may have been a difficult delivery, but maybe it's something else as well. Maybe there was financial hardship in that family which made it difficult. Maybe there was illness. Maybe there was a problem in the marriage relationship. It doesn't say that in the Word of God, but I put it to you, it would have been very unusual to have given someone that name for no reason, because names really meant something and they stuck with you in Bible times. I do note with interest that in this list of 500 names, if you start to read, don't do it, but if you start to read the ones at the beginning of this chapter, there's usually something by them. It says, so-and-so was the father of, so-and-so was the son of, so-and-so was the father of, goes like that. Then we just get Jabez, nothing else. I just noticed that. So I just wonder if there were other things in his background that made it painful for his mum, because pain can be more, can't it, than just physical pain. What's that rubbish saying we've got? It's real rubbish. We've got some rubbish sayings. Sticks and stones will hurt my break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a load of rubbish. So pain is about more than just physical things, isn't it? But that's what he was brought into the world. The name he was given was pain, or he will cause pain. Now, in the Old Testament, often words had prophetic overtones. So, like, in the case of Jacob, for example, Jacob means heel grabber, or he who supplants. And you know, Jacob came out holding the heel of his brother, but actually went on in his life to try and supplant his brother and pinch his birthright and all that kind of stuff. So names sometimes had a kind of prophetic power, a real meaning in the Old Testament. And if that's the case, then what it means for Jabez is that the prediction for his life was pain. It was his name. I mean, just imagine the stick he must have got at school with a name like that. But worse than that, how many times in his life must people have said to him things like, "That's a strange name. Why were you called that?" And then whatever those circumstances surrounding his birth were, he has to tell them again. He was never going to get away from it. He was never going to break free from this background. And the truth is this. It happens today. No, okay, we haven't got any awkward names. I don't know what Bob means. It might mean something. But we haven't got difficult names, but we do come from sometimes difficult circumstances where people and situations, they lay something on us that follows us for the rest of our lives. It can just be someone says one word. You know, Karen Carpenter, that wonderful singer, great voice. A reviewer once said, "You're fat." She died because she didn't eat enough. That chased her the whole of her singing career, and she starved herself to death. One word from somebody. Very often those words come from the very people whose job it is to prepare us and build us up and give us the confidence that we need to get through life. Parents, siblings, well-meaning friends. My Latin teacher once asked the class what we wanted to do after school, when we'd finished school. So I said, "Well, sir, I'd quite like to write a book." And he replied, "Hurley, only intelligent people write books." Well, here's my book. Okay, it's not War and Peace. "This book is dedicated to Mavis, who believed in me, Jane, that's my wife, who stood strong with me, and my Latin teacher, who said I'd never write a book." I was thinking about this morning, and I was giving a young girl a lift home, who was doing maths at university. Her teacher said to her, "Oh, you're not going to get above a C in maths. You won't be able to do it at university. We predict you C grade." It could be those very people in our lives who are supposed to give us the confidence, the love, the encouragement to become what we can become, who do the damage. So I wonder this morning, who did it to you? Who did it to you? Well, Jabez may have come from a difficult background. He may have started out life in a bad way, maybe with stuff put on him. Certainly his mum put it on him, didn't she, calling him that? But that's not how he ended up. And if the Hebrew behind honourable is heavy, then I like to think he ended up being a heavyweight for God. You see, because, my friends, in God's strength, we can all be winners for him. No matter what anybody else says to you, you can be a winner for God in his strength. Now, maybe that you've come here this morning, and as I've said this, you've thought, well, actually, in some ways I am a bit chained by my past and chained by the expectations, rather the lack of them, that other people have put on me or said about me or said to me or done to me. Well, my friends, today may be the day that you break free. God wants you to break free from that if that's been your background and your situation. And later on there'll be people available to pray if anybody would like to go and pray about that or anything else. Let's move on to verse 10, to his prayer. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." There's a couple of things that I want to draw your attention to about that prayer. And the first thing is, I want to draw your attention to this. Do you know it doesn't say that Jabez prayed? It doesn't say that Jabez asked. It doesn't say that Jabez said. No, it says that Jabez, he cried out to God. That's very emphatic. He cried out to God. He'd reached the place in his life where he cried out to God. It was a heartfelt cry from a troubled place. I think it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who said this: "Who can save us from this curse of dry-eyed Christianity?" Jabez cried out to God. And you know, when we look in other places in the Bible where it says individuals or people, they cried out to God, that's pretty much always accompanied by an answer. The people cried out to God and he heard their voice. Jabez was in that place. And perhaps God is like a father who, even when his child has done something really, really naughty, if that child suddenly cries out for help, the loving father can't resist. He's there like a shot. And perhaps our prayers can sometimes be a little flat. Things we know we ought to pray for, but we're not desperate. And there's a difference in that. Well, Jabez's prayer wasn't like that. He was desperate. He cried out to God, "God, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Oh, that you'd bless me and enlarge my territory." Is it okay to pray that? Is it Christian to pray that? You know, I mean, if we went to a conference on how to pray, and you know, there's 3,000 people in the auditorium waiting for the prayer guru to come on the stage and say, "Now, here's how we pray." You know, and as you're walking through, you take a wrong turn, you go the wrong way, you go, and you end up going down the stars' makeup rooms, and you go past the room of the bloke who's just about to stand up and address that conference on prayer, and you hear him pray, "Oh Lord, bless me indeed." I'm not sure what we'd think of that, would we? Would we think, "Oh, that's a bit selfish, isn't it? Well, sounds like he's a bit self-centered, that bloke. Not sure I want to go to his conference on prayer." It sounds unspiritual. "Oh Lord, bless me and give me a bigger garden." Doesn't sound quite right, does it, at first? Yeah, you thought something you'd think Mother Teresa would have prayed. Is it? And actually, it is emphatic. It is, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." In the Hebrew, it's a PL, it's a very intensive form of the verb. And to make it more intensive, it's repeated twice. So it's not just, "Oh, that you would bless me." It's actually, "that you would bless me with an overwhelming blessing." So this is really what he is praying, and in no uncertain terms. I mean, he's really praying very passionately here. He really is. Now, people often equate blessing with a financial blessing or a physical thing. And sometimes that is the case. I'm not going to say God doesn't do that. He's God and he can do what he likes. He really can. He can do what he wants. But it's not always like that. If you read the Beatitudes, if you like, the blessings in Matthew chapter 5, you know, Jesus saying, blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the. You read through those, and actually none of them have really got much to do with physical or financial things, have they? I mean, the psalmist writes in Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. As a blessing from being forgiven. So being blessed by God can mean a lot of different things. And let's just not narrow it down to the size of the garden that we have. But there is no getting away from the fact that in Jabez's case, he did add something, but it was practical, wasn't it? On the face of it, it looks to me like there was a practical dimension to it. Enlarge my territory. I'd have thought in those days that was a physical thing. Don't think it's not biblical. Have a little look at Deuteronomy 28, if you like, at some point, and you will see that Jabez's prayer was entirely biblical and entirely in line with God's promises laid out in Deuteronomy 28. But what's he actually saying? Enlarge my territory. He already had territory. So he wanted to enlarge. He's, if you like, he's asking for more. He's asking God for more. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, ask. Ask, 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 and it shall be given unto you. And I don't know about you, but for me, I think it'd be a shame if when we got to heaven, there were actually so many things that we could have asked God for, kind of waiting on a shelf, uncollected. But we never got round to it. Or we didn't think we could. A friend of mine once said to me, Bob, he said, don't ask, don't get. James writes this in James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. Then he says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. You can check, it's in the Bible. You do not have because you do not ask God. But there's a rider on that, which comes in the next verse, and this is it. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So there is there a connection between asking and attitude, between asking and between motives. Let's wind back now with Jabez. He was more honourable. His life was wanting to honour God. He wanted to honour God. So we have to suppose that in asking God to enlarge his territory, he felt that in so doing, that would give him a greater opportunity to honour God. It's connected. The asking is connected to his attitude. Well, asking God that he would give us more, that we might honour him more, that's actually a right thing to do, isn't it? But it is a challenging thing to do. A really, really challenging thing to do. You see, what Jabez is really asking God for is that he's asking God that he would have the opportunity to do more for him. He was offering for a greater, he was asking for a greater opportunity to minister. Well, that's quite challenging. And it's got to be something that we really want to do. I mean, have you really got the time and the energy and the resources to do more for God and to honour him more? Or are you pretty much up to your peak level with what you've already been given. See, it's dangerous to ask for more, isn't it? Although I believe that God actually would then step in and give us the power and the energy and the time that we need to honour him in those things. It's a risk. I'm going to suggest it's risky to ask God for more. It's risky to ask God to enlarge your territory, whatever that means for you. But let's remember that when we're weak, he is strong. And he's always willing to give us a hand. So when we get to the place where it is all too much and we can't, then we can just reach out and take the hand of God and put our hand into his hand. And that's how the prayer goes on, isn't it? Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. One of my childhood memories was we lived in the centre of Bournemouth, and we were living down a road with some hotels along it. And one of those hotels had this dog, and it was a really big, vicious, nasty, horrible dog. And I wasn't as big and vicious as I am now. I was little, and this dog was big, and it was really horrible. I used to hate walking home, because in order to walk home to our place, I always had to walk past this hotel, and the dog was kind of waiting for me, just looking at me like, you know, your food kind of look that dogs can sometimes give you. And I just remember, one day I'd forgotten the dog was there. And you know how dogs, if something goes quick, that's just lovely. It adds enjoyment to the kill. And I'd forgotten that. I'd think about something else, and I ran past this dog. And if that's where the dog is there, into the arms of my dad, who was very big and very vicious, not to me. And he said to me, stand aside, son. And the dog came. You would believe a dog could fly, because the dog actually went over a car. He kicked it so hard. Didn't have any problems with the dog after that. We need God's presence and his protection every day. So let's not feel shy about asking. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, deliver us from the evil one? So then we come to the end of Jabez's prayer. And I think there might be more to that than meets the eye at first glance. So that I will be free from pain. I don't know, it's just something about the way he puts it. Because he's already talked about harm, hasn't he? Then he adds that bit about pain. So that I will be free from pain. Well, on the face of it, who can ask for that? I mean, pain is part of human existence. You can't live and be human and be freed from pain, can you? Anyone found a way not to be caused pain at all in their lives? It's part of life, isn't it? So you sort of can't pray that, can you? I mean, God's not going to answer that prayer, Lord, I never want to feel any pain for the rest of my life. Because he would probably say, well, that's part of what I made in you. But he asked for that. So I've been thinking about that. And of course, his name, that which was put on him by others, by his mum, was pain, wasn't it? So I'm just wondering if there's something a bit deeper than what you might initially think when you read it. I'm just wondering if he's saying, Lord, free me from myself. Lord, free me from the limitations that others have placed upon me. From that stuff that went on in my family, that went on in my school. Free me from that, Lord. Free me from that prophecy that was placed on my life, that I would go thus far and rise no further. Free me from pain. I don't think this prayer is magic. Now, some people would say you just need to pray this every day and your garden will get bigger. Maybe it will. I'm not going to tell God what he can't do. That's why he's God and I'm not. But I don't think it's magic. And there are many wonderful prayers that are recorded on the pages of our Bibles. But the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring our attention to this morning. Or else he wouldn't have made that so different to all the other names that go before and after it. So there's something here that God wants to teach us about prayer. He wants us to take note of it. There's something God wants to teach us about breaking free from what other people have put on us in our lives. That's surely there. And the Word of God does have power to change us and to deliver us and to release and heal us from our past and to challenge our attitudes in the present. Am I really living to honor God? And to open up a wonderful future that honoring God brings to us. So, can we pray, Lord, enlarge our territory at Alma? As a church, can we pray, Lord, grow us, make us bigger? Can we pray? I say yes. And I think the Bible says yes. As long as the attitude behind it is one of honouring God. Can we pray, Lord, grow our church because we want to be bigger than the one down the road? Well, yeah, we can pray it, but is God going to honour that? Well, he's God, he can do it, but doesn't feel right, does it? It doesn't feel a Holy Spirit-led thing to pray if that's our attitude behind it. Can we pray, Lord, our church is made up of people who have come to love and know you and know the difference that you can make in their lives. We want more people to have that experience of you, so grow the church. Can we pray that? Can we pray that? We can pray that, can't we? And God will honour that. Can you pray for your job promotion? Can you pray for a promotion at work? If you want to do that, because you want to be in a position where you can affect things for God and to honour him and to influence things. Yeah. I've got a friend who lives in Bristol. I've known him for 20 odd years. He started off at a solicitors in Plymouth, and now he's the head of the Bristol thing and the thing all over the country. And he lives to honour God. He's my prayer partner. He's a lovely man. He loves Jesus. He lives to honour God, and God has put him in charge of it all. Yeah. Can you pray for a bigger house with a huge garden? Well, there was a couple at Alma, and John was telling me, and I can't remember their name, John, but there was a couple at Alma who had a huge... You've woken up, haven't you? It's so dangerous to sleep in these sermons. Who had a huge house at the end of the road. And I think you were saying that they used that huge house to start BISC, which is an international outreach with students. Let's have some more big houses then, if people are going to use those houses for that kind of thing. Was it ain't what you pray, it's the way that you pray it. It's the attitude behind what we pray. Does the praying for something always guarantee the answer? No, it doesn't. But there's nothing wrong with dreaming big. And please don't let what other people think about you or have said to you or said, please don't let that be a limiting factor. Please, please don't. Your background can just bear no correlation at all to what your foreground is in what God can do in and through you. He can do it. Jabez broke through his past. He lived to honor God. He asked for God's blessing, God's presence, God's protection, and God's prosperity. And yes, God answered his prayer. Now, you and I, we're not Jabez, but God is still the same God, isn't he? So let's go for his priorities. Let's feel it in our hearts. Let's cry out to him to bless us, that we might honor God.